thankful for the prayer that was offered, and would ask for the continuation of your prayers, not only for me, but for yourselves and for the Lord's people, wherever they may be gathered tonight, today, to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. For about the last 10 days, I had a subject on my mind that I thought I was going to preach on. It was about not giving up, but as the week proceeded, the subject of God's love came very heavy upon my mind. And, you know, the opposite of love is hate. You know, the Bible tells us that God loved his children. For Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. That's an opposition to many of the folks, Christian folks around the world, because there's an inability to believe that God wouldn't love everybody. But my whole point in that verse is it's opposite of love. To hate someone means to absolutely have no love for them whatsoever. The reason this subject of God's love, I think, weighed heavy up on my mind is because I believe that we live in unprecedented times. I'm not here to preach a political message this morning, but I'll tell you, it's a part of our society. Some people say, well, I don't listen to the news and I don't watch it. But we live in the information age, and the spirit in the land is unavoidable. Maybe you haven't had direct contact with somebody who literally hates you because you stood on the other side of the fence. This is what this has come down to in our country. And I believe it's going to get worse. And there's been a time in the history back in the Bible that the spirit of God's people were in the same condition. The thing about it is, some people believe that God's people cannot find themselves in this condition. But about 2 months ago, I preached a message out of 2 Timothy chapter 3. And if you will read those first five verses over and over and over, you will find out that there are examples of what can happen to God's children and where they can end up in life if they walk according to the flesh and not the spirit. This is what this really boils down to in life. These people who hate other folks, mainly the leader of this country, and if you have any support for him, unfortunately, you're going to be hated. It doesn't matter how good a man you are or good a woman you are. And I'm not here to do a political speech, but I'm going to tell you, there is no place in the land and no place among God's people for hatred. There isn't. But it continues to grow. It continues to escalate. You know, for a while, I didn't give much thought to it, but it's relentless. Where it's headed, I don't know. But you know, we see depravity of man rising up in his fullness, do we not? And you know, you might say, well, it's not affecting me. I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus Christ made a statement. He said, they hated me. And if you follow me, if you truly follow the Lord Jesus Christ and you do what Jesus Christ would have you to do, be assured of one thing, they will hate you also. If you stand up for the truth, you know, we preached for a month on the early church and the things that are so different in that early church than they are today. Yeah, we have a simple worship service. I believe there's no question in the Bible. There is no question that preaching and praying and singing was what the Lord set up. The things that were added to the church have been added to his word. And the Bible declares that we shall add nothing to it. We shall take nothing from it. If we take the truth to be what it was. Those brethren in Acts chapter 4, being about 3,200 of them, they continued steadfast in the truth of God. You know, they said that all that believed were together and had all things in common. All things were common to these folks. But I don't believe for a minute that they agreed on every issue of life. But I do agree on one thing. They believed in the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they rose above their indifferences to live with one another and to strengthen one another. I'm going to tell you, hatred is a terrible thing. It is the opposite of love. Now, the Bible tells us over in the book of Corinthians that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But I'll tell you what, Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5 that the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit's against the flesh. And these two are contrary one to the other. So that you cannot do the things that you would. What does that mean? It means if you're being led by the flesh, you cannot please the Spirit in any capacity. You cannot please God if you're walking and living in your flesh. If you're pleasing your flesh and pleasing the desires of your flesh, you cannot please God. It says, if you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It gets down to what's leading you. Now, God's people can have hate for one another, unfortunately. And when we get to being led by our flesh, we can do a lot of things that are contrary to the teachings of God's word. It says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. I'm going to tell you right now, the world will tell you that the weapon and the power of love is no weapon at all. But I'm going to tell you, it was a weapon that saved you from your sins and has delivered you and will deliver you out of this world into glory one day. There's nothing more powerful than the love of God. For God so loved you and I, hopefully me, that he gave his only begotten son. I'm going to tell you that love will always overrule. That song we just sang, charity, having love for one another is a powerful thing. But hatred is running rampant in the land. Not the first time that it's happened. And I hate to see it get any worse, but I think there's a possibility. I thought things would simmer down, but it seems to be escalating. It's not getting any better, it's getting worse. And basically, they don't care about anything but which side of the fence you're standing on. That's all that matters. That's what you call real hatred. How can you hate somebody so much that you hate everybody that stands on the same side of the fence? But that's what's happening. And I want to encourage you today not to get caught up in that rhetoric. I believe the Bible tells us to separate ourselves from that. Let's notice in Matthew chapter 24. I believe this was in the days prior to the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. But let's notice the spirit of the land and the spirit of the people and see if that might be something that we find today going on. It says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. But he goes on, he says, there shall be many offended. Many people are being offended today, are they not? For all kinds of unruly issues that really ain't worth arguing over. Sometimes you find this in the church among God's people, issues. They're offended for one thing or the other. And then they're betrayed, it says here. Betrayed. They shall be afflicted, they shall be offended and shall betray one another. You know, sometimes it gets so bad and the hatred gets so terrible that people betray one another for their own cause, for their own purpose. Paul told us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, in the last days, know this, perilous times are coming. He said, there's going to come a time, and I believe this happened in Timothy's day, that the times have become more dangerous, more difficult, and I believe that the times we're living in are more dangerous and more difficult. It says in those days that there'll be men who despise those who do good. I'm telling you right now today, if you're not on the right side of the fence, it don't matter how much good you're doing for someone, you're going to be hated by a lot of folks. And I tell you, there's no place among God's people and in this world for that type of hatred. You know, we were a land once upon a time. I believe that was more of a God-fearing land. And I believe we agreed to disagree. We got along when we didn't agree on every issue. We didn't begin to hate folks because they didn't side with us. You know, you find that within the church sometime among members. If you're not on my side, if you're not thinking exactly like I think, I got no use for you. You offend me. Notice what it says. It says, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. It's hard to imagine that one of God's children, which could include us, could hate another one of God's children. But I believe that these things are written for our learning, as Paul said in the book of Romans, that we might find the truth of God, that we might be comforted, and we might have hope in the Scriptures. There's no place in this world for hatred. And we're called upon by the God of heaven to rise above this idea of hating folks because they don't agree with us. To love folks. And it's not easy. And the Bible is thorough on this. It goes on and it says, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. lot of deception going on today, and Satan's at the forefront of that. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Friends, I'm telling you, if that's not the spirit of the land today or where we're headed, I don't know what it is. And it's my desire through this message to encourage us not to get caught up in that. Not to make that part of our lives. You know, Jesus Christ loved us and he laid down his life for us. When we were yet enemies to the cross, when we yet hated him, he came and he died in our room instead for us. That's what he done. And that's the example that he gave us. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it says he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. What is our duty? To fear God and to keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. We're supposed to live above these that get caught up in the rhetoric. The noise, I call it. And the noise is getting louder and louder. You know, I haven't seen it. You probably haven't either, to the extent that some folks have in this country. But believe you me, if something doesn't happen, it's coming to where you live. Hatred is systemic. I mean, it's habitual. People catch on, and people hate folks sometimes, and they don't even know why, just because everybody else does it on the side of the fence that they're standing on. They don't have no reason or rhyme for it. Hatred's a terrible deal. You know, aren't you thankful that God didn't hate us? Even though we hated him, the Bible says we were his enemies. We hated him. We didn't love him. We didn't desire him. That's the flesh. Are we walking in the flesh? I encourage you to walk in the Spirit and to rise above what you see going on in this land today. It's terrible. It really is. And I believe that God can empower us to do so. You know, if you have mercy upon someone, if you have compassion upon someone, if you forgive someone, you find all those things rooted in love. Some people will tell you, oh, I just can't forgive. Yes, you can. The Bible says you can. Don't tell me about it. Tell the Lord about it. The Bible says that through Christ, you can do all things. You can gain the strength to do it. I will go with you on this attitude. Of your own strength and your own power, you can't forgive, you can't have mercy, and you can't have compassion. But those three things, among other things, find their root in God's love. Nowhere else. We're told over there that in the last days, we need to be mindful of this, we need to watch out for this, that men shall be lovers of their own selves. What that literally means is everything you do in this life is directed at yourself. You know, and it's interesting that that's always been a problem, even with God's children, because when we're born of the Spirit of God, the flesh doesn't go away. The battle begins. But John said in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon you that ye should be called the sons of God. He didn't say that you would be, but he said that you should be. If you're manifesting that love, there's something within you that's not in those who are not God's children. Did you know that? There is a power that resides in you to do above and beyond what you'd even think or ask. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. To think for 1 minute that we can't rise above the issues of this day and love those who hate us, we're going against what God said. We're denying the power of God. You know what it says in the 5th verse over there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, that folks in the latter days can find themselves having a form of godliness but deny the power of God. Have you ever denied the power of God in your life? When you say that you can't do something, you're denying the power of God working within you. And we'll go to some more scriptures as we go on. But I tell you what, the power of God is a spiritual weapon. You know, when Jesus was arrested, Peter pulled out his sword. He cut off the ear of the centurion. And Jesus said, put the sword up. My kingdom is not of this world. It's not of this world. He says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But friends, by nature, we want to be fighters, don't we? We want to pull out the sword and we want to give them what they got coming. Aren't you thankful Jesus didn't pull out the sword and announce wrath upon you and I, the wrath that we deserved? He left us an example that we should follow in his steps. That we should rise above all the hatred and all the troubles and all the problems of this life and manifest his love. Behold what manner of love. Behold. He says, I want you to think about the power in you, the power of love that will help you to overcome these folks. You know, we even are told that we have that power to look someone in the eye that hates us, that curses us, that uses us, and to love them. To walk away, not to say anything. That's how we do it. We don't engage with them. We don't get caught up in carnal warfare. It's not an easy thing to do. You can't do it on your own power and of your own strength, but I believe you can do it through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible declares you can. If you believe God's word, you can. As we preached on the early church in the book of Acts, we find that those 3,200, and they were not all together at the same time, they had an affection for one another that I don't believe we see among God's people today. They had fellowship. You know, Peter had just warned them, withdraw yourself from this untoward generation. I'm going to tell you what, we need to withdraw ourselves. Now, that doesn't mean we need to go live in caves and put rocks on them and live apart from this world. The Bible says that we're to be a light that shines in a dark place. Let your light so shine that men, seeing your good works, might glorify our Father which art in heaven. But it does tell us that we're not to associate with them on a regular basis. You know, you hang with them, you play with them, you begin to talk like them, you begin to walk like them, you begin to act like them. That's why I know millions of people that are filled with hatred in this land today are God's children. It's an unfortunate thing, but they're walking according to the flesh and not according to the Spirit. I don't know who they are, but I believe they are. For the Lord knoweth them that are His. God knows them that are His. But He doesn't ask us to find out who they are and love them only. He tells us that we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. You know, the lawyer was trying to trick the Lord, and who is your neighbor? Over in the book of Luke. You're my neighbor. You have neighbors everywhere in this church. You have neighbors on your block. We're to love everyone. We're to live peaceably with all men. Paul said over in Romans chapter 12, he says, recompense no man evil for evil. But that's what our nature wants us to do, isn't it? An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Now, we don't want God to deal with us in that manner, do we? But we certainly want to deal with other folks that don't agree with us sometimes. We want them to get what they got coming to them. But aren't you thankful that God was merciful unto us for His great love wherewith He loved us? Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Aren't you thankful that we have that hope in heaven? Because our Savior loved us so much that He gave His life. He laid down His life. You know, He told Peter and the other disciples that if he'd wanted to fight a carnal warfare, he could have called upon 12 legions of angels and he could have wiped those folks out and done away with it. He didn't come here for that purpose. He came here to give His life a ransom for many. He came here to give His life a sacrifice for His people. Why did He do that? Because of the everlasting love He had for you and I. What is our duty in this life? It's to manifest that love. Behold what manner of love the Father has given you, bestowed upon you. Don't think for one a minute you don't have the ability or the power to bestow that kind of love on your brothers and your sisters, your neighbors and your friends. And some of them are going to offend you, just like it said over here in Matthew 24. Some of them are going to betray you sometimes during life. Some of them are get the point to hate you. Do you still love them? You know, Jesus dealt with this on the Sermon on the Mount. Let's go over there for just a minute. You know, we find these to be extremely difficult verses to deal with sometimes because by our human nature, by our fleshly nature, it's not what we want to do. We want to fight and we want to get back. It's what we do by nature, but we're called to rise above that because Christ in you, the hope of glory, can empower you to rise above it, to do better than that. That's what separates God's children who are trying to truly follow Him from the average folks in the world. You know, in verse 38, it says, you have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I'll tell you, our human nature goes right along with that, doesn't it? Until we get to the point of saying we're thankful that God had mercy upon us and didn't deal with us in that manner. It goes on and say, but I say unto you, I want you to notice this. A couple of times we're going to find here Jesus speaking, but I say unto you that you resist not evil. Now, he's not talking about that you go out and commit evil acts. He says you resist not evil men, people that are trying to do wrong to you. Down here later, he says those that curse you, those that hate you, those that use you and persecute you, despitefully use you, intentionally use you for their gain or for their betterment or whatever for their purpose. You resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other. If he slaps you on one cheek, let him slap you on the other and just walk away. Say nothing. Do nothing. You don't know, don't engage. That's what's wrong with a lot of us. We want to engage. We want to fight back. But that's not the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, is it? You know, he could have fought back. He could have wiped them out in a minute. But he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. He has bestowed upon us, within us, when we were born of the Spirit of God, a power that will allow us, with his help, to rise above what's going on in our lives today. Jesus said in John chapter 15, he says, without me, you can do nothing. You know, we can do the wrong thing without Christ time and time again. But to do the right thing and to rise above how we feel or how we think or what is so important to us, it takes the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't focus on ourselves. You know, back over, Timothy said, you got to be careful or you'll become a lover of your own self. Now, we have that problem by nature anyway. But he says there'll come a time that it's exceptionally bad when men all they care about is their own self and not others. Their own benefits and their own good. They'll be despisers of those that are good. They'll love pleasures or whatever it is they like in life more than they love God. They'll claim to be God's children, but they'll deny the power of God. When you deny that God can't change you or that you can't change, you're denying the power of God. Because Paul literally said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. With God's help and by God's blessings and by God's power, you can do above and beyond what you think was possible. It is possible. If we can't do some of those things, are we taking them to the Lord? Are we praying as we should pray? You see, in the early church, they were not only steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. That means they persevered in the truth that was delivered unto them of the apostles, being revealed to them by Jesus Christ himself. They continued in fellowship. They didn't become hermits. Inside that church, they drew strength from one another, something that I think we lack in the church today. Not just fellowship from church to church. I'm talking about within the local church. In comparison to what it was when I was a child and grew up, we don't have that intimate fellowship and that intimate affection that we once had. We become more, somewhat more like others out there. We've got to get back out in the world. We've got to be careful. Because Paul tells us time and time again, if you rub shoulders with the wrong people too long, they're going to have a great effect on you. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Worthless companionships destroy good moral habits. You know, we've always went against the things that God said because that's our nature. You know, the things that are going on in this land today, if you peel the onion all the way back, what it really amounts to is these folks are rebelling against God. They're rebellion against God. It's always been that way. We've always been wanting to be our own God and do our own thing and go our own way. You know, there's people that love that song that Frank Sinatra wrote, I did it my own way, even if they did it the wrong way. You know, they're so proud of that, and they're so caught up in I did my own thing, and I did it my own way. Well, you know, the child of God is called upon to do it the Lord's way. That's what honors God. Are you interested in honoring the Lord Jesus Christ? Glorifying his holy and righteous name? I hope you are, because there's getting to be fewer and fewer people in this land that have any consideration for that. Most people love themselves. You know, you've heard of folks getting apathetical. Mother asked me not long ago, what is apathy? Well, it's not giving a hoot for one thing, but let's get a little more technical about it. There are three things that describe apathy. Number one is a lack of interest, a lack of concern, and a lack of excitement. When you lose interest in God, your interest will go somewhere else. Your interest will not be in his kingdom. It will not be in praying unto him. When we're no longer interested, when it says a lack of concern, It really means what's important. And some of these things really do hurt. They do hurt me when I think about them. We're always concerned about what's important to us, are we not? Even if it's something that only benefits ourselves. That's what's important, and that's what we're concerned about. If you lose interest and you lose concern, you won't have any enthusiasm or excitement about doing it, whatever it is. That's what apathy really is, a lack of interest, a lack of concern, and therefore there's a lack of excitement. We're not zealous for the Lord anymore. That's what apathy does to God's people. But I'm telling you and I'm encouraging you to rise above these things in this life. Don't get caught up in this rhetoric that's going on today and be a part of it. Be separate from those folks. Love folks in spite of what they do. It says, if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. You realize our treasure is in heaven, really? We get caught up and we hold on really tight. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow from thee, turn thou not away. Now, you know, you get down to the end of this in the Sermon on the Mount of chapter 5, and he says, for if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? You know, it's easy to do good for those that do good for you, show love to those that show love for you. But Jesus said, we're to love folks that don't show love to us. We're to love folks that don't do good to us. He says, even the publicans are the same. And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? We're called to be different than others. We're called to manifest God's love. That when folks see us, they realize that there's something different. When somebody engages with you in an argument, and this could happen at some point, because you don't believe the way they believe, and I'm not just talking about scriptural, I'm talking about the laws of the land. Walk away. Be empowered by Jesus Christ not to be engaged in that kind of rhetoric, in that kind of warfare, because that's what's happening today. A lot of things would be better left not said instead of bringing forth this hatred toward one another. He goes on and he says, you have heard it that hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. That right there is a picture of nature, is it not? Love those that love you and hate the rest of the folks that don't love you. That by nature is how we are as human beings. Even God's children still possess that old human nature. Again, we find Jesus says, but I say unto you, this is what's important. Love your enemies. And unfortunately, many of our enemies are children of God. Did you know that? That's a terrible thing, but that's the way it is. Maybe we're enemies to someone else, but it's not just those who do not have the power of God residing in them in the Spirit, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He said, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. That's not easy, is it? When somebody curses you or cusses you out or whatever goes on, is it hard? It's hard to be kind to them, is it not? Very hard. But it can be done, and we'll go there in a minute. He says, do good unto them that hate you. Sometimes it's hard for folks to do good unto them that love them, much less to do good unto them that hate them. But this is what Jesus calls us to rise up and do. In doing this, you will honor his holy and righteous name. You will be living your life for his glory, and you'll be seen different. They won't understand you in the world because the world wants to fight with carnal weapons. They want to do away with one another. But the children of God are called to rise above that. And I encourage you to rise above that and love those that are hard to love. Forgive those that are hard to forgive. Have compassion and mercy on them, just as Jesus Christ had on each and every one of us. He says, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that do you wrong intentionally, that you may be the children of your heavenly Father. You're going to be the child of your heavenly Father if you're born of the Spirit, whether you do those things or not. And maybe that gives us peace of mind. But if we're going to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, we're to do those things. We're to love the unlovable. We're to love those that do bad to us, that offend us, that hate us, that persecute us. And friends, I'm telling you, it's not easy, but I believe it starts with prayer. You know, the four things that the early church did, they were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, in the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. Are we really praying as a church and as individuals? Lord, help me. I tell you, if there's ever been a psalm that you ought to go read when it comes to this, it's Psalms 139. Search me, O Lord. Search my heart and search my thoughts, if there be any wicked way in me. Cleanse me that I may walk in the way everlasting. The Lord knows our hearts. The Lord knows our thoughts before we even think them. We need His help. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. And I believe this prayer that was offered up by the Apostle Paul is one of great interest to me. We find in chapter 3, in the 14th verse, the Apostle Paul said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." He enters into prayer here for those church at Ephesus, but this prayer was written down for our learning and for our good, of who the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with His might by His Spirit in the inner man. Friends, if we're not strengthened by God Himself in our inner man with His might, friends, we can't love those who are unlovable. We can't love those who offend us. We can't love those who do persecute us, that hate us. We can't. "For without me you can do nothing," Jesus said. If you think you can, you're wrong. Paul even will tell you, "I could do it without the strength of my God. I couldn't do these things." This is not natural for us to do. The natural thing to do is hate those that hate us. Do evil unto those that do evil to us. Recompense no man evil for evil. We're told to overcome evil with good. "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I'll repay." Are we following the example that Jesus Christ gave us? I'm going to encourage you, if you're not, to rise above your emotions and your thoughts and love those people that are not easy to love. And as these things get worse, if they do, and I'm afraid they very well may, we're going to have a lot of opportunities to do that, because there's going to be a lot of folks not agree with us, or we not agree with them. Are we going to engage with them the way they engage with us? That's what's going on now. I encourage you not to do that, not to let that allow that in your life. Walk away. Don't be a part of it. It'll take the strength of Almighty God to do that, because by nature we're fighters. We want people to get what they got coming to them, even though we don't want to get what's coming to us. I mean, that's kind of how we are. You know, we want to dish it out, but we don't want to receive it. He goes on, "that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man." We're told in Ephesians 6, "be strong in the Lord." Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I'm going to tell you, by your own strength, you're not going to be able to forgive those that hate you, to love those that do you wrong. You're not. But by the strength of God, you can. If you couldn't, He wouldn't have written this. I want to tell you one thing. Jesus never spoke an idle word. He never had an idle thought. Jesus was always about the Father's work. He never showed up at any given place by accident. Did you know that? When He came to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, it was no accident that He there. He knew she was going to be there. Jesus always come, and Jesus was always where He needed to be. And the words that He wrote down in His book and left for us are beneficial. They're to help us in times like this, in times that may get worse than this. Prepare yourself for a time and a day that what we know today here in Lubbock, Texas, may be even much worse. I don't know, but it could be. It's certainly not getting any better as it goes in the land. He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. To understand that He has bestowed upon you in your inner man a manner of love that allows you to love beyond what most people think you can do. It's hard to love your enemies. I'll admit that. This sermon is more for me than it is for you. It's hard to love those that don't do you right, that step on your toes. But I tell you, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The power of God's love is one of the most powerful things spoken of in the Bible. There's nothing more powerful Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul said, when you do good unto those folks, when you give the hungry something to eat and the thirsty something to drink, when they've done you evil, it doesn't set well with them. It heaps coals upon their head. I don't ask you to do that for that purpose. I ask you to do that because it honors God. Loving folks the way we ought to love them honors the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as we journey through life, we encounter many folks that we don't agree with on many subjects. But I tell you what, it oughtn't to change the love that we have for them. But we have to have the power of the Spirit of God within us to do that. We have to be strengthened with His might by His Spirit in our inner man. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If we say it can't happen, then maybe if I say that, maybe the Spirit of God doesn't dwell in me. I'm certainly denying the power of God. I have a form of godliness, but I'm denying the power thereof. I'll tell you, Paul said that we can do it. We can't do it of our own strength, but we can do it with the help of Almighty God. And that ought to be our goal. And we ought to ask the Lord to help us to love those that we can't have such a hard time loving. Or if we encounter someone down the road that offends us, hates us, persecutes us, does us wrong, help us to rise up and to love that person and not to lash out at that person, because I think that opportunity is going to present itself as we go forward here in this world. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. If you're a child of God, there's a power in you. If it's tapped into, and I believe that if you do as Paul said here, you bow to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you do it, and we do it, even if it means that, as you know, we're to make all kinds of sacrifices. We're to fast, to pray to God. God promises to help us and to give us the strength to do what we think is impossible. I can't help you do that. You can't help yourself. You can't help your spouse. You can't help anyone, but the Lord can help you. The Lord can strengthen you with His might in your inner man, that you can love folks that are not very lovable, folks that may bring injury to you by words. You know, when we follow the Lord Jesus Christ and when we're manifesting that love, that manner of love that has been bestowed upon us, that we should be a child of God, that we're manifesting our love to our enemies and blessing them that curse us and doing good unto them that hate us, that and praying for them that persecute us and despitefully use us, that we may be the children of our Heavenly Father, then we bring honor and glory to the Lord when we do that. That's how we honor God in this life. May God bless us to do that going forward in our lives. I want to read the first few verses from John chapter 4, and we'll end right there. It begins in chapter 7. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." If you've ever really loved anybody with sacrificial love or a deep love, I believe it's because you've been born of the Spirit of God. But you know, if we get to a point in life that we're no longer following after the Spirit of God, we're being led by the flesh, the two things that are contrary to the one another, then we may not be manifesting that manner of love that was bestowed upon us. "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." The only hope of life we have here and in eternity is because of the love that Jesus Christ, or our God, had for us when He sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us. Herein is His love, not that we love God, because we didn't. We were His enemies. We hated Him. We didn't desire Him. Not that we love God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. The law demanded that our sins be paid for, and we had nothing to pay with. But God loved us with such an amazing love, with such an everlasting love, that He sent His Son down here to fulfill the law, to pay the debt. And now you and I have this great hope dwelling within us that one day we're going to live where love will be made perfect in all of us. It's not now, but it will be. It'll be perfect love throughout all eternity. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. I know loving your enemies is not an easy thing to do. Loving those who have brought injury into your life is not easy. And I'm not making light of it because it's hard for me. Forgiving those who have walked all over you in life for whatever might be at the reason. But I tell you, if we don't tap into God's love and into the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit, we'll never get there. And you know, there are consequences for not using the power of love. Sometimes it leads us to a life of misery. It eats our innards out. I pray and I hope and I encourage you to not allow the rhetoric of the day to be a part of your life, to rise above it, to use the power of God's love. That's what we're called upon, because carnal weapons are not the weapons that God said we need to use. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're spiritual. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It's only through His might and His strength that we can do these things. May God bless us to do it. May God bless us to manifest His love. And in doing so, the world will know that we're not like other folks. We're different, and that's what we're called to be. As Christians, we're to be different. We're to walk in a different light. We're to think a different way. We're not to get engaged in warfare of the tongue. That's a lot of what's going on now, is the warfare of the tongue. Leave it alone, say nothing, and walk away. Manifest your love the best you can without getting engaged in the rhetoric that's going on. May God bless us. May God bless our nation. May God bless us to go forward and manifest His love as my